Jancis Robinson is one of the world's leading wine experts. Some would say the world's leading wine expert. She is a master of wine, the Financial Times wine writer, and the author-editor of dozens of books, including the Oxford Companion to Wine and the World Atlas of Wine. Her award-winning website has subscribers in more than 100 countries, and she also provides advice for Queen Elizabeth II's wine cellar. Her latest book, Wine Grapes, is a huge undertaking and alphabetically presented profile of all 1,368 wine grape varieties currently in commercial production, in which she charts the relationships between them, including unique and surprising family trees, their characteristics in the vineyard, and what the wines made from them taste like. It was written with Julia Harding, also a master of wine, and Dr. José Villamoz, a Swiss botanist and grape geneticist who has worked extensively on the field of grape DNA profiling. Jancis Robinson, welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
How much of the information in this 1,280-page book is original information that's come directly from the DNA studies?
A lot. And in fact, I think we reckon about 300 of the relationships that we outline that are confirmed by DNA analysis have never been published before.
So there were some surprises because people have always guessed that certain grapes were related to other guests, but it turns out in looking at this book, they were often wrong.
Yes. All sorts of things are wrong. You know, everybody thought that Aglianico, rather a nice southern Italian grape variety, had to be Greek because the name was a sort of corruption of Hellenic or something like that. But José can't find any current Greek grape variety that shares any sort of DNA with Aglianico, for instance.
Well, as somebody who has tasted a lot of wines, were you surprised in some cases that there were family connections, or wines that you would have thought had little in common?
Definitely. And I think, for instance, the grape variety that they're calling the Casanova of vines, because it seems to be the ancestor of so many varieties, is one that I'd never heard of in the early 90s. It's called Gouet Blanc and makes not very exciting wine.
Where's it from?
It's from eastern France, and it was widely planted in the Middle Ages. And now you can find a little bit in the Valais in Switzerland and a tiny bit in northern Italy. And I think one Australian producer has it as well. And it sort of crossed with Pinot. They are the parents of, just for starters, Chardonnay, the grape that makes Muscadet, the grape that makes Beaujolais. I think we've done a family tree for Pinot, and there are 156 grapes on it.
So red and white wines.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it, that it's counterintuitive that a white wine grape should be the parent of a full-bodied red wine grape. But that's true of perhaps the best known red wine grape of all, Cabernet Sauvignon, the first of these major discoveries back in the late 90s was that Cabernet Sauvignon is the progeny of Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc, which was very unexpected.
So do we have any idea how that happens?
In the field.
These mixed marriages?
Yes, these mixed marriages. They get together sort of random crossings in the vineyard is how it happens.
The book features 80 full-color plates taken from first editions of Viala and Vermorel's 100-year-old book on ampelography.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're quite beautiful. They look like paintings that Audubon might have done if he had preferred grapes to birds. But what is ampelography?
Ampelography is the science of vine identification. Ampelos, I think, is something like Virginia creeper, all part of the same family. And that was the name that it was a popular sport, and it used to be done purely with the eye. And there were a handful of people in the world who could walk into a vineyard and know which variety was which. And now, of course, we have DNA to help us.
Well, how often were they right? I'm assuming they, based on what we've just said, they were wrong a lot of the time.
Not a lot of the time, but sometimes, yes.
Well, for a long time, the origins of the California favorite Zinfandel were unclear. That all changed as a result of DNA analysis. Are there other wines that were just as much of a mystery?
Oh yes, but I love the Zinquest, as they called it, the search for the origins of Zinfandel, because it was such a protracted story. And it, first of all, they thought that it came from Hungary or something. Then they found it was Primitivo in Puglia, southern Italy, and then realised that actually it had come to Puglia from Croatia. Finally, they found one vine in a little Croatian village, and it's first we list it actually because they're all alphabetically listed. We had to choose their prime names. We list it under the earliest known name for Zinfandel, which is the marvellous word of tribidrag, which I think is absolutely great.
But we have no idea why it came to be labeled Zinfandel when it came to California.
No.
Well, in the end, it winds up being an American wine, a California wine. And if anybody wants to make it today, I guess they could call it Primitivo, or they could call it Zinfandel.
Or if they could persuade, is it TTB, the legislators, if they could persuade TTB to accept it, they could label it Tribidrag.
Well, the thing that this reveals is that the same grape genetically produces very different kinds of wines wherever it's grown.
It certainly shows that what a strong influence local conditions have. And for instance, DNA has shown that the grapes Vermentino, Favorita, which is a sort of speciality in Piemonte, and Pigato, which was always thought to be a completely separate Ligurian speciality around Genoa, genetically, they're all exactly the same variety. And the one that the French call Rolle, R-O-L-L-E.
And they taste different.
They taste a little bit different, yeah.
My guest is Janice Robinson. Her latest project, written with Julia Harding, who has been her longtime associate, and Dr. Is it Jose?
Jose
Vuimaros, who's a Swiss botanist and geneticist, is called Wine Grapes. It's a huge book, a couple of, 1,200 pages. weighs 7 pounds, and covers 1,368 wine grape varieties, which means every wine grape variety we know of at this point?
No, I think there are about 10,000 wine grape varieties in all, including table grapes and drying grapes and things like that. But to keep the project, doable, we decided to limit it to the grapes we knew were producing wine in commercial quantities. But actually, there is now such interest in heritage varieties, indigenous varieties, alternative varieties, as the Australians call them, that I'm pretty certain that number's going to increase.
Have there been crossovers? For example, Concord grapes are indigenous to the eastern United States. If you planted Cabernet Sauvignon near it, is it likely that there'll be some cross-fertilization?
I'm sure they have been planted near, not that I know of, no.
Well, you include 14 complicated family trees. This is why I asked that. So there are 14 basic wine grape families?
No. José chose the 14 family trees that he thought would be most interesting to illustrate. But that said, as with most natural orders, it does look as though most wine grapes are descended from surprisingly few founder varieties, and not all the founder varieties are well-known ones. I mean, there's an Italian one that I'd never heard of.
Which one is that?
I can't remember.
The Oxford Companion to Wine, which you edited, has been widely considered to be the most comprehensive wine encyclopedia in the world. Does this book supersede it?
Yes, the grape. The entries in the Oxford Companion on grape varieties represent less than 5% of the Oxford Companion. But certainly the information in wine grapes is way more up-to-date than the information on wine grapes in the Oxford Companion.
Because in this book you give us the historical background of each grape, where they're grown, what sort of wines they make, and what they taste like. But what they taste like has always been a problem for wine writers, isn't it? What they taste like can be great to me and not so great to you.
It's a professional problem throughout wine writing. And we all have different tasting equipment and different preferences. And words are just not made to describe tastes, really. We have to find the closest thing to it.
Yeah, for years I was turned off, but when I read, there's a little taste of saddle. I thought, why would anybody want to have the taste of saddle in a wine? Didn't you study mathematics and philosophy at Oxford?
Guilty.
So how did you wind up going into wine writing?
Well, it was at Oxford I was introduced to wine, and I just loved it straight away. I loved wine and food, and I just could tell that what I was most interested in was wine and food. But I graduated so long ago that they were regarded as terminally frivolous subjects, so I didn't dare go into either of them straight away.
You thought
away.
Your friends would think that they would you think made it was, a big mistake.
I'd wasted my education. But now, of course, those subjects have much more respectability.
Well, not only that, those people are looking to you to find out what
well,
they should
Well, funny you should say
that.
I was at Oxford with a brilliant girl who sort of got a first at Cambridge and then came over to Oxford and got a first class degree there too. And, you know, I looked up to her enormously. And then we met up again, sort of, I don't know, about 3 years after I'd started writing about wine. And she was, I think by then, something like an actuary or something. And she said, do you know what? The other day I went to Cognac and I stayed in this chateau. And I thought, oh, you know, I did that years
been there,
ago.
Done yeah. that. Interestingly, when you get a lot of wine snobs together, they automatically drink the red wines. But you say Ooh. There are more interesting white wine grapes than red.
It's true. I don't understand this pro-red wine thing. I'm completely...
More complex, they say. No?
But I don't think they're right. No, I mean, there are some wonderful white wines and white wines that age superbly. And actually... I think there are more white wines that go well with food than red.
But aren't the British partly responsible for that? Because they kind of connected to the Bordeaux's, the
Well, Bordeaux isn't just red wine by any means. There was a time when there were more white grapes than red grapes in Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm. That's Sauvignon Blanc and,
mm-hmm.
and Semillon.
And Semillon, yeah.
we're also hearing now that white wine might be actually better to eat cheese with than red wine. In the past,
there was yes.
So our attitudes about wine are constantly changing.
Oh yes, and I've been writing about it so long that I've seen pendulums swing. You know, and I mean I think at the moment that there's a big swing away from great big alcoholic oaky wines towards lighter, more refreshing wine.
Now, you were made an OBE in 2003. What does that mean?
you may well
you
ask.
Lady Jansen?
No, alas, no. It's a title that's something like Officer of the Order of the British Empire, which is way out of date, isn't it? But there are various, you get levels of these BE things, and it's some recognition that you've achieved something.
Just one more thing. There's talk about climate change affecting how wines will be produced in the future, and in fact, Britain is producing wines that it never could have in the past. I'm assuming that will apply to places all over the world. Do you see that as a real concern?
Well, it's changing the wine map. And I suppose if I were a wine producer in Châteauneuf-du-Pape, I might be a bit worried because the vintages there are getting hotter and hotter and their wines are getting stronger and stronger to the point of perhaps being inconveniently alcoholic. But it's fun to see vines being planted in Scandinavia and Northern England, and Canada, of course, is benefiting from it. Germany's making much more consistent wines than it ever did because of climate change.
I have a suggestion for Châteauneuf-du-Pape. Just simply change the name of the area to California and nobody will know. The book we've been talking about is Wine Grapes, written by Jancis Robinson and also Julia Harding and Dr. José Villamoz. Thank you so much. Oh, and who publishes this?
Echo.
Echo. Huge book, beautiful, with lots of pictures. I have to find out about some of the other wines that I've been very curious about. Thank you so much for making this available to me.
Thank you.